if some of you asked me about some of the outlines or overheads or things, we've got a bunch of them, and what I was going to try to do is just get, maybe not all at one time, because it might be 10 handouts to hand out, but I'll try to get two or three for the next couple of weeks each week to give to you so that you can have them, because some people have said, I'd like to have some of those handouts too that you see up on the board, the thing, and we'll do that as well. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're continuing, of course, our study of origins, and we're seeing, of course, the look at creation evolution. We've already dealt with a number of issues and areas. We've dealt with evolution, and we've talked about it. It's a combination. Basically, evolution is this combination of random chance and impersonal laws somehow brought about through universe and brought about this universe and the life that we know it. I mean, it's just that over a long, long period of time, according to evolution, things just evolved upward from inorganic to organic, from whatever was out there to begin with to life as we know it and even to mankind. We've also seen creation, and we said creation is the act by which God brought all things into existence out of nothing by His spoken word. That's what creation is. He just spoke it into being. That's what we said. We've seen the contrast in the last several weeks dealing with this. This morning what we're going to do is we're going to continue to focus on creation, but we want to look at God's word because there's some issues, some things that people want to look at. There are always questions, and we're going to look in Genesis chapter 1, exactly just verses 1, 2, and 3 this morning as we see this. And here's some questions as we think about it. Is this the original creation? I mean, we'd say, well, of course it is. It says in the beginning God created the heavens and earth. Is it? Or is this a description of creation or reconstruction? Is there, as some would say, a gap in there between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? And then the third thing is this just a, not the original creation, but a second creation, as some might say? And so we're going to think through all of those things. And you can say, well, what difference does it make? I mean, it just says, you know, just read it and go on. Well, there's some questions that need to be thought about. In Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28, it talks about Lucifer guarding the throne of God. That was before his fall. When did that happen? You know, it's not really mentioned in the Bible exactly when that happened. Isaiah talks about it, and Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28 mention this. But when did that happen? Is there a time? Did that happen before Genesis 1? Was it in between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? And then other questions like, was there a world before Genesis 1 or in between 1 and 2? And when did these dinosaurs fit in? And how did all these things come about? Well, we just want to give you some information as we look at that this morning, talk through some things, and then just see what we can put together. Let's begin by going to the Lord in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks again for a great morning. And as we think about the shuttle again, we pray for those people. And Lord, we think about our church. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the privilege of meeting together with fellow believers to worship you and to come together. And Lord, we think about Dave and maybe a lot of people might get to eat sometime Tuesday night at El Chico to raise some money there for that whole situation. We pray for that. And then, Lord, we just think about the truths of the Bible and how that's the authority for our lives, and that we're going to go back to the Scripture to determine what we believe and how we believe it. And so, Lord, we just ask you to help us as we look at the Scripture. We know there are a lot of things that are hard to understand. There are things that you just haven't given us all the information on. So, Lord, we just want to, what you have revealed to us, we want to understand it and apply it. Lord, thank you for a great morning. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in the musical, The Sound of Music, Maria wants to teach the children how to sing. So she says, let's start at the very beginning. That's a very good place to start. And when you think about the Bible and our origins and how all this, the best probably place to start is to go back to the beginning of the Bible and to see that. And that's Genesis chapter 1. And Genesis is called the foundational book in the Bible. In fact, it says that everything starts in Genesis, and then the revelation is the consummation. And in one sense, most things end in Revelation, or the things that started in Genesis end in Revelation. We want to look at Genesis chapter 1, verses 1, 2, and 3 this morning, and we want to think about beginnings for just a second. You ever thought about it that there are three places in the Bible that it talks about that it says in the beginning? Think about it. In John 1:1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Well, what beginning there? Most people call that the eternal beginning. Because that's saying in the beginning was God, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So that's the eternal beginning. So it's like that, of course, God goes on forever and ever, both ways, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. There's a second beginning that's found in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and most say that's the beginning of our universe and the physical creation. And then there's a third one, which is found in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, that says, that was what from the beginning, that we have seen with our eyes, that we have held with our hands. He's talking about Jesus. And that beginning is probably when he became a human being, the incarnation. So in the Bible, there is the eternal beginning, God always existing, the beginning of the creation of the heavens and the earth, and then the beginning when Jesus Christ actually became a human being. So that's three places you'll find in the beginning. What we're going to do is go back, of course, and think about the beginning of the creation, and we want to look at Genesis 1:1. Have you got the outline for our study? Can you just throw it up there real quickly? Real quickly, we started with creation evolution. We looked at the different types and kinds. And then we saw the problems. Then we started with creation, definition. We tried to compare evolution and creation. And then as we move on, we're looking at this section here. We're looking at Genesis 1:1-3. A couple of areas. And one is we're going to talk about gap or no gap. I mean, this is, and some of you may say, I didn't even know there was a gap. Okay, well, there may not be a gap. But we just want to see if there is one, how it fits, if there is something. I want you to think through it. And then probably next week we'll get days or ages. We're going to talk about the days. And there are a lot of people who say that the 6 days of creation are six long periods of time. They're ages and not days. We'll talk about that. Then, as time goes by, we're going to talk about the dinosaurs. Were they before men or with men? Are there dinosaurs in the Bible? And it has a bearing a little bit on this Genesis 1 that we're talking about. And then we're going to talk about the flood and how all that fit. And there's a lot of good things there, because there are going to be some people who would say to you that there really wasn't a real flood like that. It might have been universal. I mean, might have been a local thing. But there wasn't a flood that covered the whole earth. And if there was, how could he get all the animals? And second, could an ark, could a boat hold all the animals? Those are questions that people will throw right out at you and say, first of all, no boat could hold all the animals. And second, it couldn't be that big. And number three, it wasn't a universal flood. And number four, couldn't have lasted. And how did it all work? And so I just want to show you some facts, some things that you can see that will help you in that area. Then the last area is the man, where we're going to talk about prehistoric man and missing links and all those kind of things that people talk about all the time. I've got some handouts there. I don't know if we're going to put them up as slides like this. I just don't know how we can, if technology, whether we can do that or not. But I do have some handouts to show you, and then we'll get the summary. So here we are. Let's talk about this, and there's a lot of things. Let's deal with the passage. Genesis 1:1-3. Let me read it for you. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving, hovering literally over the surface of the deep. And God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light." That's Genesis 1:1-3. And so the question is that original creation? Is it some kind of reconstruction? Is it a second creation? What could it possibly be? In Genesis 1:1, sometimes this is called a gap theory, okay? That there are people who say that between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2 is a big, long time period. There's a gap. In other words, when it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth," boom. And he did that, and then for a long, 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 long periods of time, something else happened, and then the earth was formless and void. There's something happened. He comes back and begins to do things. That's called a gap theory, and we're going to talk about it. There are a lot of people who hold to a gap theory. There's many who don't, and I just want you to see how it ties together so that you can look at all this. Let's look at the verse. "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." I like the way it starts, "In the beginning," and it's giving us a beginning of creation of the universe. And notice it says, "God created the heavens and the earth." We've talked about this before, but the word for God there is Elohim. The singular form of God in Hebrew is El, like El Shaddai and El Elon. It just means God Most High, or the God, the powerful one. But this is not El, this is Elohim, which is the plural form of God. It could be translated gods. It's not, because they understand that the writer of this knew that there's God here in the sense the plural of majesty, or in a veiled way of looking at it, there is God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together. So we see this in the beginning, God. You will know later on in chapter 1, he says, "And let us make man in our image." He's not talking about angels there. Angels aren't creators. It's talking about God, and the us is the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. So that's why most believe that the main Hebrew word for God is most of the time plural, Elohim. Now, and it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." And when we read that, it wipes out a number of things. If you hold to the scripture, number one, it says God created the heaven and the earth. First of all, it wipes out atheism, because it says there's a God. Number two, it wipes out pantheism, because God is separate from his creation. See, pantheism says everything is God. God's in the chair, God's in the air, God's in the carpet, God's in you. That's pantheism. It wipes that out, because God is separate from his creation. Third, it wipes out humanism, because God is the creator and not man. Man is not the center. And then, in a sense, it wipes out evolution because God created, it wasn't evolved. Now, in the beginning, God created. You've heard me teach this before, but the Hebrew word is bara, and it's used only for God. Man doesn't bara. It's never said that man created. It says man may form, man may do this, but God is the only one that creates. That means to take something and make it out of nothing. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, says that we know that the worlds, by faith, we know that the worlds were framed out of nothing by God's spoken word. So it just happened, so to speak. God speaks it into being. He takes nothing and makes it something. Notice also, God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens are plural. A lot of times we say heaven and earth. It's heavens and earth. And where it talks about we're being raised up and seated with Christ in the heavenlies. It's plural again. It's not in the heaven. It's in the heavens. People say, well, what kind of heavens? What do you mean heavens? In Corinthians, Paul says that he knew a man who was caught up in the, you may know, third heaven. We say, wait a minute, how many heavens are there? Well, there's at least three. And that's not explained anywhere. Many people say, okay, the heavens are, first of all, the first aspect of heaven is what we'd call our atmosphere, where we live. And the second heaven is maybe where the angels live. And the third heaven is where God lives. Who knows? That's what some people say. Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven, and he saw things that were beyond his comprehension. So it's heavens and earth. And, of course, the word earth, it's eretz, which means land. One of the main newspapers in Jerusalem, besides Jerusalem Post, is Eretz Israel, the land of Israel. It's there. It's saying it's our land. Now, when did all this happen? There's no really way to know here. We know that there's a creation. When by the time you get to chapter 5, there's going to be this flood. And after the flood, there's going to be a time period from the flood to the time of Abraham. And then Abraham on. And we best we can tell from history is that, and the best we can tell from all around us, that Abraham lived about 2,000 years before Jesus Christ. So from us back to Abraham is about 4,000 years. Now, how far was it from Abraham on back to Noah, and from Noah on back to Adam and Eve? We don't know. There's a listing there. If you go to chapter 3 and 4, basically 4 and 5, you'll actually see the lineages of the people. Now, some people say, and there was a man years ago by the name of Usher, who decided that he would take from Adam and Eve and their children, and take the years that it says they lived and mark it all down. And he was assuming that when it says, and this man begot this person, that that was their child and they lived the exact number of years. And he figured out that the world was about 4,004 from the creation to Jesus. That's what he said, at 4,004. So he got pretty exact. But the problem is the Hebrew word for begot doesn't necessarily mean the exact child of. It means a descendant of. So there may be all kind of gaps in there as far as who is who. Because what we're seeing in Genesis basically 4 and 5 is here are the people that followed these people. These are descendants of these people. So you can't just take it and say that's it. So there's some people historically have said that from Adam and Eve to Jesus was about 4,000 years. Some say longer than that, of course. Some have an older earth than that. Some say millions of years. Some even say that the earth was created and millions of years went past before there was Adam and Eve and all of that. So there are all kind of thoughts. A man by the name of Harold Schlusher, who is an astrophysicist and a geophysicist, and he's one of the young earth people. You know, you can go and you can read, and there are people who believe it's a young earth, there are people who believe it's old earth. He's a young earth. Here's what he says. He says there are a number of indicators that seem to indicate that no more than about 10,000 years of our earth from the very beginning of our earth and solar system. So he holds to a fairly young earth. And I personally, this is just me personally, and you can do what you want, I hold to a young earth, 10,000 to 20,000 years if you try to take people and figure it up. And if you hold to the fact that he created the heavens and the earth, if you hold to the fact that he created it in 6 days, we'll talk about that next time. If you hold to all that and you put it all in there, it's got to be fairly young. Now, last week we talked about why does it look old? We talked about the built-in age. When he created the heavens and the earth, and he created the mountains and the trees and the people and all of that, when he created Adam and Eve, remember, how old did Adam look when he created him? Perfect age, 53. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But you see, when he created Adam, he was a grown man. You look at him and say, that's a 40-year-old man, 30-year-old man, 25, 40, 45. And he said, no, I just can't. He just created me. and when we see mountains. So there is a built-in age in our world. And so when people, if you get bothered about that, you just do your own study. But I still kind of hold to a young earth, and we'll see why as we look through some things. Now, here's verse 2. Let's go through it. It says, "And the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters." We get to verse 2, and it says that when He created the heavens and the earth, it was formless and void. Formless has an idea that it was empty, and void has an idea that there... Well, let me say it this way. Formless has an idea that there was a waste, it was big and open, and then void means that it was empty, there wasn't anything there. So what does He mean? He said He created the heavens and the earth. Now, everything first was just a big something, and now He's going to begin to create it. Now, here's one problem, and this is where some people get confused. They say, oh, okay, I see verse 2, but if you read over in Isaiah 45:18, it says, God established the earth, and He did not create it as a waste place, but He formed it to be inhabited. So some say something's wrong in verse 2, because Isaiah 45 says that when God created it, it wasn't a waste place. Now, I want to let you understand something. Isaiah 45 doesn't say it wasn't a waste place. It says God planned it to be inhabited. That didn't mean He started it with it being inhabited. He just planned for it to be inhabited. So they can match. But there are some people who say, looks like we got a problem. Looks like we got creation in verse 1, but we got some kind of problem in verse 2. So that takes us to, let me see, I've got a handout I want to, let's, can you, you got the one that says Genesis 1, 1 through 3, three views? I think he's got that. Yes, there's three views, okay? Now let's get this. Three views of this creation of Genesis 1, 1 and 2. Number one is that it is the original creation. That Genesis 1:1 is an overview. I'm going to give you details in a minute. Genesis 1:1 gives us an overview that says God created the heaven and the earth. Beginning at verse 2, He's beginning the explanation, and then on down to verse 3 of the details. Okay? That's one view. There's a second view, which is called creation and reconstruction, which there's a gap there. There's Genesis 1:1, which is the original creation. Then there's a gap between 1:1 and 1:2. Usually they say is the fall of Satan, maybe a whole past world, dinosaurs, subhumans, no telling what. It's just that people's views go from all different kind of things. And then beginning at verse 2 and verse 3 is a reconstruction. Okay? There's a third view. And that is, this is a second creation, that Isaiah 45:18 is the original creation. Then there was the fall of Satan. And then what we find in Genesis 1, basically verses 1, 2, and 3, is a second creation. That when He says, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, it's not really the beginning, because He already had a creation and there was all kind of, Satan did all this. And so He's coming back now, and this, He's just telling us, and He just hasn't given us all the information. All He's doing is saying it's the beginning. Okay? That's the three views. I'll have that as a handout for you next time too, so you can have it and how that fits. So, is this original creation? And everything's fine? Is it original creation? And there's something happened in there? Was there a gap? Or is this actually just a second creation that He already started it somewhere else and He didn't tell us that in Genesis, He just started over? Well, let's talk about it for just a second. Let's talk about original creation. If you look at it, let's take this view of this passage as original creation, that it's fine. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, we just talked about that. As you get to verse 2, my Bible just says, the earth was formless and void. Does any other Bibles read it differently as you start verse 2 other than thee? Any Bibles read anything different than thee? Now? Now, okay. Anything else? In Hebrew, there's things called a vav disjunctive and a vav consecutive. Now, vav is like and. That's what the Hebrew word is. It actually sticks on the front of a word that tells you to go on in the sentence. When it's called a vav consecutive, it's just like da-da-da-da-da, and da-da-da-da-da, and you just go on with this flow. When it's called a vav disjunctive, it's sort of like a stop for a second. And a lot of times it's a stop for an explanation. So, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The next sentence starts with a vav disjunctive, which is a stop, which is used. And if we're taking this as the original creation, He's stopping to now, because most of the time it gives us an explanation. If you can go back to the very first slide of the three views. All right. This is the Genesis 1:1 is the overview, and beginning verse 2 with a vav disjunctive, he's saying now. In fact, whoever translated it now did a pretty good job. If you're going to take it that way, you can say now. This is how God created the heavens and the earth. I'm fixing to tell you how he did it. That's verse 2, verse 3, verse on, and that's the explanation. So it's called a vav disjunctive, and he's going to tell us. The verb is translated this way, and the earth was formless and void. How many of your Bibles have the word was there? And the earth was formless and void. Do most Bibles use was? Anybody have something different than was? Nobody has anything different than was. Could be. Became. Could be. Right. That's a good footnote. If you hold to a gap theory, that's a great footnote. You know, if you're going to hold to that, you better have that footnote, okay? Now, so here's the way it goes. You see, it is in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, let's stop and I'm going to give you the details. Now, the earth was formless and void, and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. He's saying, now, I'm giving you, here's the big overview. He created the heavens and earth. Now, I'm going to tell you how he did it. Started off, it was formless and void, and the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over everything, and then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And then he began to go, and he did the different things. Okay, that's the view that shows that it's the original creation, no gap, it flows right along. Okay, let's look at the second one, which is a creation and reconstruction. I think we're going to run out of time today to get all of this, and that's okay. That okay with y'all? I mean, you want details, or we want to just say, here's what you think? Okay, the second one is the gap theory, okay? And here's what they hold to. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Vav disjunctive. Now. Ooh, there's a stop there. So if there's a stop there, there must be this gap in between verse 1 and verse 2. And of course, that gap, what went in there? Well, that's when Satan lived and guarded the throne of God, and that's when he fell, and that's when we have the earth. And for many, they say that's when dinosaurs roamed, and that's why the earth is so old, because there's just all this long time period happened. And so there's this big gap there, fall of Satan, all of the things that happened. And, you know, some people who hold to a gap theory do not believe that that's when dinosaurs were. Some people do. Some believe that there were subhumans that lived then, lived and died and all this. And some say, oh, no such thing. But anyway, they hold to this gap. And then when you start verse 2, then after this big gap, after this fall of Satan, after the earth got messed up, the earth was formless and void and darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the deep. So God said, we better fix this thing up. That's reconstruction. It's called the gap theory. Now, the gap theory varies from just... They must want us out of here. It varies from just saying that there's a little gap there, and that's when Lucifer fell, to saying there's a huge gap there. Millions of years pass, dinosaurs, subhumans, fall of Satan, earth bad, everything. And then we get to verse 2, and God says, I better correct this thing. Okay, that's the gap. The final one, throw that one up real quickly, is the second creation that Isaiah 45:18 really is the original creation, which talks about how God created everything, and he created it not void or anything, and he created it to be inhabited, and something happened. Fall of Satan, other things. And then God comes back, and he's going to straighten it all out. But when he tells about straightening it all out, he doesn't tell us any of that. He just starts in Genesis and says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. And he doesn't tell us, this is actually the second time I've done this. So that's the three views. Now, which one's the best? Which one fits? Is it the original creation, God made, shaped, and formed it? Is there a gap in there, and Satan fell, and judgment, and all kind of things? Or is it really the second creation? Well, let me just say this. And by the way, on the gap theory, the people who hold the gap theory, when the Bible says the earth was formless and void in verse 2, where it was, it is translated, they think it should be translated, became formless and void. Because what they're going to have to say is, hey, here's the gap. There was the fall, so the earth became, there's the fall of Satan, there's the big gap, and so the earth became formless and void. So you got to have a change in the verb there. Now, Hebrew is a strange language. And a verb, a verb just sitting there sometimes could be translated past tense. It could be translated present tense. It could be translated future tense. It could be translated as was or became or even will become. Who knows? So you just have to look at the flow. Now, let me just say this about the way that word is used there. It would be very rare for it to be translated became. It's not that it can't be, but it would be rare the way it's used. And so that's why a lot of people, if you noticed, how many Bibles in here put the word became in there? None. Because translators say, that's just not the way it's used. So we're not going to put it in there. People who hold to a gap theory say, it really is became, just nobody translates it that way. Okay, now, which is the best? Well, let me say this. If you hold to a gap theory, and you can... If you say, I believed you in Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, there's the gap. The Vav disjunctive tells me there's a big hole there and that maybe that's when Lucifer fell. Maybe there was another earth. Maybe there were dinosaurs then. Maybe there was fault. Maybe there were subhuman people, all of that. You're pretty much assuming these things. Now, the problem is we don't know when Lucifer fell. He's not even mentioned. Angels aren't mentioned in the 6 days of creation. Whether they were created before or after, so are just not mentioned in the creation. We don't know. If I was guessing, I would say that angels were created before Genesis 1. Those are beings that he created before Genesis 1. Now, when did they fall? When did all this happen? We don't know whether that happened after the 6 days of creation, whether it happened before, whether it happened between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. Bible doesn't tell us. All we do know is that Lucifer, that angel who guarded the throne of God, rebelled and took angels with him. We just don't know when. If you want to hold to a gap theory, that's fine. I don't think that if you want to say things like dinosaurs and death and subhumans or whatever, if you have any kind of death in there, the problem with all this gap and thousands of years and death is you're going to have sin. And the Bible says that sin did not enter our world until Adam and Eve sinned. And death and sin did not enter. It says, through one man, Adam, sin entered the world, and death by sin, death passed upon all, for we all sinned. So one of the reasons I don't hold for a gap and all of that and dinosaurs and everything living before man is that you'd already have death before sin entered the world. That's why I hold to it in a different way. Now, if you number two has some problems, the gap has some problems. Number three is almost saying God created heaven and the earth, but I'm not telling you that it's the second time I created it. But let me just say this. The word bara means to make out of nothing. It doesn't say anywhere that when he created it, then he destroyed it all and made another one again. In fact, he does say, I'm going to destroy this creation by fire, but it doesn't match this thing. I probably wouldn't hold to the Isaiah passage, that's the first creation and this is the second one. Probably the closest thing you're going to have to deal with is, do you hold to a gap or not? Now, the reason that I would hold to it not being a gap is simply because the word was is translated the right way. The Vav disjunctive is the explanation. You don't need a gap in there. The only thing we don't really know that the Bible does not give us information on is when did Lucifer fall? And what we'll do is I'll start next week. We'll talk a little bit about the fall of Satan, when it could have been, how it could have been. And we're going to talk then about the days and ages. And we'll go back. Let me stop for just, I know time is up. But anybody have a question that might be a quick, simple answer, or do we want to save it for next week? Yeah.
Did Moses write Genesis? And if it did, isn't it God inspired?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
I don't understand what looks like God told Moses what to say in this, and there could be all kinds of time periods in there.
It might could be, and that's why some people hold to the gap theory. That's why they do. You're exactly right. God inspired Moses to write down the first five books. And one of the questions that I think we need to do is, when we read this, if you assume you were a Jewish person getting this revelation from God by Moses, how would you understand this? Would you assume there's a gap between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2? Would you assume that when he says, you know, I created the heavens and the earth in 6 days, would you assume he meant 6 days, or would you think long periods of time? I think if we read the Bible as the person would be reading it and as how we're reading it, I don't see a gap in there. I'm just trying to show you that maybe from the language with a Vav disjunctive, you might could put a gap in there if you want to, okay? Okay. Let me get one more question, then we got to stop because I know time is up, and then we'll get more details next week. Yeah.
Did Moses
No, I lean toward, if he thought I leaned toward the gap. I don't want to fall in the gap, so I don't lean toward the gap. But what I lean toward is the first one, that's the normal creation, that Genesis 1-1 is the explanation, is the big overview. Beginning at verse 2 with the Vav disjunctive, he's given the explanation of how he created the heavens and the earth. I don't see a gap. Well, there are people that have their Bibles that have notes at the bottom that'll say there's a possibility of a gap theory, and here's what could have happened. This could have been the fall of Lucifer. Yeah, there's a lot of the Bibles that have commentaries with them will raise those kind of points. Anybody have a Bible that mentions anything like that? I don't know what Ryrie's study Bible does. What does yours say? Ryrie says that there could be a gap in there. Yeah. See, so what he's trying to do is let people know there could be, and that's why a lot of people hold to that sort of thing. Okay, I know time's up. What we'll do is we'll do more questions next week. We'll finish this part, and then we'll go and get into the day-age theories. Okay? Heavenly Father, thanks for a great day. Thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to put it together and just to see your word. Lord, we know that there are a lot of things we just don't grasp and hold to or see and figure out and understand. But thank you, Lord, for your word. And may we live by your word and understand it and make application in our lives. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.